This is Jay Sekulow. Those on the left have a new test. Pack the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
First, they steal a Supreme Court seat. Then they turn around and change the rules on filibuster on a Supreme Court seat. And so when it swings back around to us, what are we going to do? And my answer on that is all the options are on the table.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I wouldn't entertain that. The only reason is that they're doing that is they want to try and catch up. So if they can't catch up through the ballot box by winning an election, they want to try doing it in a different way. Now, we would have no interest in that whatsoever. It'll never happen. It won't happen. I guarantee you, it won't happen for 6 years.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So expanding the Supreme Court seems to be the messaging point that right now you are seeing the Democrats in Congress really engage. And I say this because they are running on it. Beto O'Rourke is proposing where each party gets, this is a pretty interesting one. What if there were five justices selected by the Democrats, five selected by Republicans, and those 10 then pick five more justices independent of those chosen by the first 10? So here's what I think. Nonsense. At the same time, you've got former Attorney General Eric Holder basically saying the same thing, that he views this as a good move. In part, what they're trying to do is make up for what they view will be lost territory. Now, understand this. At the very same time, you've got Republican GOP members of the United States House and Senate saying, hey, we may need a constitutional amendment to limit the Supreme Court seats to 9. And that's because there is not in the Constitution a limitation or a number set forth, merely the way in which justices are nominated and confirmed with advice and consent of the Senate. But what are they trying to do? And I think it's clear what's trying to happen here, Professor Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy at the ACLJ, is an end round around a president that has nominated conservative judges and justices to the Supreme Court.
I think you're precisely correct. So the real issue is the following one. When and if the Democrats win, they prefer to pack the Supreme Court with Democratic-leaning justices. Since they've lost, guess what? They now want to change the rules. So Senator Elizabeth Warren, she is now looking to expand the Supreme Court by conflating her desire for a Democratic-leaning Supreme Court with an entitlement to a Democratic-leaning Supreme Court. The Democrats have traditionally relied on the Supreme Court to advance their agenda. President Trump has appointed justices who believe in an originalist interpretation of the Constitution and the rule of law. Democrats, by and large, dislike the Constitution. They believe in something that is quite fictional, a living Constitution, which does not exist, but it only exists, if it does, in their own imagination. And I think this is what is in play here, and I think the Republicans are smart to push back against this effort by the Democrats to effectively rewrite the Constitution.
Well, what they're trying to do, I mean, look, this is a major talking point, a major issue for the Democrats to try to galvanize their base. Supreme Court nominations are always, listen, it's the lasting legacy of any president. So what are they trying to do here? They're trying to do everything they can to move that forward as a political campaign issue. Could you imagine if President Trump had a Republican House and a Republican Senate and said, you know what, let's increase the Supreme Court seats to 15. So I'm going to appoint 6 more. Everybody on the right would probably object, and the left would object too. Why would the right object? Court packing is not a good idea. That's not the way you handle this. But this is what they're trying to do, is nullifying the context of an election. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. I want to know your reaction to all this. What do you think about the left trying to pack the Supreme Court? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a lot to talk about there. Also, I'll bring Dan Bennett in to our conversation during the break on Facebook and Periscope. You can get your comments and questions in that way as well. But again, if you want to talk to us on air, easy to do, 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget the ACLJ Matching Challenge at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so Representative Mark Green from Tennessee on Tuesday announced that he will introduce a constitutional amendment this week to limit the number of Supreme Court justices to 9 after several of the Democratic presidential candidates have now floated the idea of expanding the high court. We call that court packing. This is what Congressman Green said. I don't think we have it in I'll read it because I don't think we have it in a statement in audio. But this Thursday, I will introduce a constitutional amendment that would limit the number of Supreme Court justices to 9. The number of seats since 1869, the Supreme Court must remain fair, an impartial branch of government, not beholden to party. What is going on, Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, on this issue? Because you've got now Republicans saying we're going to push through a constitutional amendment if we need to protect the situation.
Well, Jay, I honestly think it starts by a fact that Democrats are having a hard time winning elections on a national scale. And so if you can't win an election on a national scale, you just try to change the game to make sure that you can. But where they do have some success, Jay, or they think they can have some success, is in the U.S. court. So what they're doing is rolling out a two-pronged approach where once they get back the White House, they want to expand the seats on the Supreme Court, and they want to preserve as many seats on the current federal judiciary as possible for the next president of their party to fill. So they're blocking the nominees from President Trump. And Jay, we talked about this during the break, but it is staggering how hard and aggressive the obstructionism in Washington, D.C. has gotten. There were more no votes cast against President Trump's 91 judges that have been confirmed to the federal bench during the 2 years of his presidency, Jay, than there were cast against every judge confirmed to those same courts during the 100 years of the 20th century. That is how strong the effort in Washington, D.C. has become. But Jay, I see this theme running through all of the efforts from the left right now. If you can't win an election, change the rules. Think about it. It applies to the proposal to eliminate the Electoral College. It of course, applies to this court packing procedure as well. And it applies to lowering the voting age. Jay, I think they are seeing a scenario where it is going to be hard for them to take the White House back. So they're grasping at straws to try to change the game.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Bill on line 2. Bill, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening to you guys about how they want to pack the court systems, and we should find out what number they want to go to and have President Trump just start appointing now.
Well, listen, here's the problem. I don't think this is the right thing to do. I mean, I'll just be blunt. I don't like this idea of court packing. I think it's a gigantic mistake. I think that the reality of what we're looking at, and this is what we have to deal with, is that when you have a situation like this, you are putting yourself in a situation where if a Republican or Democrat try to do this, you would say it's wrong. And I really believe that. Now, here's the problem that we have, and that is, and I think we've got to be cognizant of this, is that this is an aggressive move as a political campaign. This is a political talking point, Harry. This is a theme on which the Democrats are going to try to run.
I think that is correct. I think the Democrats are basically trying to cater to their left-wing base with this particular idea. And I think it's important to note what Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said. He said that the Democrats are scrounging through the ash heap of American history for their ideas. And so they continually want to change the rules. They want to change the rules with respect to the number of Supreme Court justices. They want to change the rules with respect to the Electoral College. They want to change the rules with respect to voting age. Essentially, they want children to vote. And it raises the distinct possibility that they will continue to want to lower the voting age going forward to the extent that they lose elections. So it's not about fairness. It's not about justice. It's not about the rule of law. And it's not about the Constitution. It's pure politics all the way down.
All right, let's go ahead. And I want to play what Beto O'Rourke, by the way, raised $6.1 million his first day in the campaign. When it was official, so he raised a lot of money up front. Here's what he said at a town hall in Iowa just a couple days ago.
We're at one of the most dysfunctional points in U.S. governmental history. I think it calls upon us to be creative about what some of the solutions are. Otherwise, we wouldn't think about one of the proposals the gentleman just raised. What if there were five justices selected by Democrats, five justices selected by Republicans, and those 10 then pick five more justices independent of those who chose the first 10. I think that's an idea that we should explore.
First of all, he never seems to have his own idea, but that's a side point. But then what people need to understand is what is the motivating factor here? This is a talking point for the campaign. That's what this is about.
Yeah, and I think the proof of that, Jay, is the fact that it's now being echoed by essentially every top-tier candidate. I mean, it's almost hard to determine where the original source of this was, because if you play the campaign stops back-to-back of all the major candidates, they all are using almost verbatim the same talking points, the 15 judges on the Supreme Court and the keeping the vacancies open on the lower courts as much as possible. Jay, I think the motivation is purely a political one. I think they are trying to look at a political landscape in which it's going to be difficult for any of them to defeat the president. And frankly, it's going to be difficult for them to achieve the policy goals that they're setting forth because they're not popular with the American people. So they're going to need a federal judiciary that is more to their liking. Jay, I would tell you this, though. I think there is a very specific action that Republicans in Washington, D.C., not on a political level, but on a policy level, need to be making. You talked about the constitutional amendment that's being put forward by Mark Green and Marco Rubio. I think that is a start. But Jay, I think the United States Senate needs to work harder to confirm judges to the vacancies that currently exist as well, because that is an equally important and maybe even more important aspect of this. There is an effort to keep those seats open for the next president that is a Democrat. Jay, those are seats that President Trump has good nominees for, and I think the United States Senate needs to move more aggressively in filling those seats. That's a part of this this court packing proposal.
Well, look, they're trying to blunt the lasting legacy of a president who's elected. And that is the appointments to the Supreme Court. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take another call. We're taking your calls, by the way, 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to this court packing plan of those left of center, 1-800-684-3110. Tim's on line 4 from Wisconsin. Hi, Tim.
Hi there. I'm calling from Green Bay. I'm basically a writer for Zero Censor. Been studying history for many, many years. And as I seem to recall, this was tried under the first term of the Roosevelt administration, and it was soundly rejected by the politicians. I'm wondering if they've forgotten about history, or are they trying to repeat it?
Or trying to rewrite it. So they did this court packing plan under FDR because much of the New Deal was being struck down in the courts as unconstitutional. So Harry, this goes back a long time, but this is not the first time that some Democrats have tried this court packing concept. So they're picking up the playbook of FDR here.
I think that's correct. And FDR picked up his playbook from Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was the original progressive president of the United States. He really didn't believe in the Constitution. He believed essentially in the centralization of power. And so when FDR took power in the 30s, he was continuing in Woodrow Wilson's footsteps. He essentially wanted the entire economy to be managed in Washington. However, the United States Supreme Court struck down many of his initiatives, including the National Industrial Recovery Act. And then the Democrats proposed the National Labor Relations Act and a number of other social welfare statutes. And so the FDR disliked the moves taken by the United States Supreme Court, and he threatened to pack the Supreme Court with up to 6 or 7 additional justices. That idea lost in the Senate, and the Democrats, by the way, controlled the Senate at the time. So I think this is a really bad idea. However, it reflects the fact that Democrats want to change the rules when they lose. So rather than make their case to the American people and win with respect to, let's say, the next election, instead they want to take control, for instance, of the Supreme Court because they believe that the Supreme Court will give them something they desperately want, which is a permanent victory in terms of the expansion of the United States government and the government's control over each and every aspect of our lives.
I think that it's clear that this is, I said this earlier, this is politics. They are using this as a political talking point. But if you look at Beto O'Rourke's suggestion of 5 and 5, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and then that 10 pick 5, that's absurd. That, first of all, you have to have a constitutional amendment, but that's not the way it works. Judges of the Supreme Court, actually doesn't use the phrase justices, judges of the Supreme Court are selected under the Constitution by the president nominating and with the advice and consent of Senate, of the Senate confirming judges to the Supreme Court of the United States. That is the way this is set up. All right, we're taking your calls on this topic at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be joined in the next segment by Skip Ash, though. We're going to go to a topic on Israel. He just got back from being over in our office in Israel. We're going to talk about some of those issues, but we'll still talk about this court packing plan, as ridiculous as it is. We'll take in your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We encourage you to give us a call or get your comments in via Facebook and Periscope. It's another great way to communicate with us. And don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge. You can go to aclj.org for that. That's aclj.org, and your support makes a huge difference. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Court packing, especially at the Supreme Court. That seems to be the new move of those running to be president of the United States, at least on the Democratic side of the campaign. So we're going to take a little break from that topic. We will be taking more calls on that coming up at 1-800-684-3110. But I wanted to bring Skip Ash, our senior counsel at the ACLJ, in charge of our international law and law of armed conflict, into the conversation on a different topic, and that is on the Middle East and Israel. And that is because Skip just got back from a major event in Israel. Skip, tell us a little bit about why you were there.
I was invited to go to Israel to meet with members of the government and other firms that do things similar to ours on with respect to Israel, helping them on the international realm. And so what I was there for was a conference for 2 days. We had members from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Justice, the Ministry of Strategic Affairs, the Ministry of the Economics, the Economy, all talking about issues that deal with Israel, from the International Criminal Court to the BDS movement to this idea of naming and shaming certain international corporations that do business with Israel. So it was sort of a get to know each other, get a briefing, and also to strategize on where we can all intervene and do our best for Israel.
So let me ask you this, Skip, because there's a lot, while you were gone, there was a lot of news here on the political front regarding Israel, mostly regarding anti-Semitic statements made by members of Congress. Did in any of your conversations, did that come up on the international realm?
Oh, that came up everywhere. The Israelis are especially concerned about, it looks like, you know, in the past we've had both the Democrats and Republicans were very pro-Israel. Now it looks like the Democrats are fast jettisoning that view and are taking on more and more people who are anti-Semitic, and they are having trouble dealing with that and condemning that. And the Israelis are very concerned because they believe that it's best for Israel, and I believe that too, when both Republicans and Democrats are committed to the only democratic country in the Middle East.
So let's take it from a perspective of you've got the BDS movement, you've got international tribunals. What's the latest with Israel and the International Criminal Court in The Hague? There's been a lot of discussion. We've been there before, presenting Israel's interest before the ICC, the Office of the Prosecutor. We've done that before. What's the kind of the latest on where that is?
Well, if we look at the International Criminal Court, they've been sort of a failure at what they were doing within their member states. They've had, you know, and all the time they've been together, they've had 6 cases. Okay, so since 2002, they've had only 6 cases. So now they're expanding to go to try to bring in nationals of non-member states, like Israelis, like Americans, like Burmese, like people from countries that are not part of the International Criminal Court, not part of the Rome Statute. And the most recent attacks with Israel have to do with the Hamas demonstrations in the Gaza Strip, trying to charge the fence into Israel proper, and the deaths that occurred there and the injuries. And the United Nations has roundly condemned Israel and has given Hamas a complete pass. And the prosecutor has said that she is looking more closely at this because she believes that Israel may have committed war crimes in the process of merely trying to defend themselves and their own people against, in people attacking and firing at civilians in Israel, which is the Hamas end of the deal. And they are each time they do that, that is a war crime. So it's one-sided, and Israel's once again the target of the attacks.
Dan, let me ask you this. What's the latest in Congress on this as it relates to the anti-Semitic outbursts of some members of Congress?
Yeah, well, the House Democrats, Jay, have refused to do anything about it. I mean, Congressman Omar has continued to double down on her position, and yet leadership has let her stay on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. But, Jay, I think it's really important for our listeners to hear what Skip is saying. The entire reason that he was over in Israel and that we have a presence at the United Nations is because oftentimes, Jay, we're the only voice in those bodies that come to the defense of Israel. And I think our listeners should know that the United Nations Commission of Inquiry on the Gaza border protest just this week, Jay, sent a 252-page report. It was basically a confidential file of Israelis that they turned over to the United Nations Human Rights Council suggesting suggesting that they had committed war crimes. Jay, this is the United Nations up to its usual tricks. It is a biased entity that that frequently takes on one target, and it's the nation of Israel. And historically, Jay, the United States has been the country that has stood by Israel's side. Of course, we saw a big deviation from that in the last administration and a return to it under this one, fortunately. But the United States Congress, Jay, there does not seem to be the urgency, and I think Skip put it well, the urgency on the Democrat side of the aisle, particularly in the House, to stand by our ally Israel. They are letting their members, Jay, say things that are damaging to one of our greatest allies and continue to have a voice in U.S. foreign affairs. An outpaced voice, I would say. Her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee affords her access to information and decision-making responsibility that a regular member of Congress would not have. They have not taken the action that they should in this case.
You know, Harry, this is kind of the new, I mean, this whole issue came up because this new, I would call ultra-progressive wing of the Democratic Party seems to be bent on court packing and the whole Israel issue.
I think that's correct. And so I think we can conclude correctly that a new virus has entered the bloodstream of left-wingers. So they embrace, apparently, anti-Semitism, BDS, court packing, the Green New Deal, lowering the voting age, changing the Electoral College. So in other words, they are discontented with America as it currently stands. They want to transform this country, and they want to do so without changing the Constitution. But they want perhaps the judges to do that for them. So it's a very important issue for all Americans to be engaged. One of the goals of the ACLJ has been to defend the nation of Israel against, generally speaking, foreign enemies, including Hamas. And yet today, it's important to note, as Skip has already suggested, when Hamas attacks Israel, guess what? Then the United Nations and an elite opinion then attacks Israel for doing what? Defending its own sovereignty. So the world, from a progressive perspective, has been turned upside down. No longer is it correct from a progressive perspective to defend your own country against enemies, foreign and domestic. And a similar virus has entered the bloodstream of Americans. No longer do we need, apparently, to protect our borders from enemies, foreign and domestic. And a recent Supreme Court case, Nielsen versus Priap, actually vindicated the Trump administration's power and authority to deport criminal aliens. But guess what? The left considers that particular decision an extreme decision. So it's very, very important for all Americans to remain engaged on a raft of issues that are interlinked and combined.
All right, we're going to be taking a break. Second half hour of the broadcast is coming up. You want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Skip, thanks for being with us. We're going to go back to this issue of court packing. Unbelievable political move. But don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign, so any amount of money you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. If you want to talk to us on air, that number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with the next half hour of Jay Sekulow Live in just a few moments.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
First, they steal a Supreme Court seat, then they turn around and change the rules on filibuster on a Supreme Court seat. And so when it swings back around to us, what are we going to do? And my answer on that is all the options are on the table.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All the options are on the table. This is the new Democratic talking point on running for president of the United States. The options they're talking about is court packing. In other words, we have 9 members of the Supreme Court of the United States. That is not in the Constitution, by the way. It says judges of the Supreme Court. The number set by the legislative branch signed by the president into law. So that's what you have. That's the way this is done. We've had 9 since the 1860s. Why the court packing move? This isn't the first time the Democrats tried that. They tried that under FDR. Why are they trying it now? Well, because they know the lasting legacy of a president are the Supreme Court picks, and they don't like the two that have been confirmed to the Supreme Court by the president. That's what this is all about. But this court packing issue, as we said in the last half hour of the broadcast, is as old as the Democratic Party itself. They've tried this before. But what they're trying to do is make an end run, Harry, around the election.
You're absolutely correct. So they dislike the fact that President Trump has exercised his constitutional power to nominate originalist justices who believe in the rule of law and the United States Constitution as written. So he has appointed Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, and both of those individuals have been confirmed by the United States Senate. And so I take issue with Elizabeth Warren's claim that the Republicans stole a Democratic seat because they didn't vote on Merrick Garland. No, the Republicans exercised their constitutional power to give advice and consent to the president. The president is not entitled to approval from the Senate. Instead, he nominates, and then the Senate has an opportunity to confirm or to deny confirmation. So one of the points that I would make in response to Elizabeth Warren is she fails to understand the Constitution. And that, perhaps, is an outrageous claim on my part, because Elizabeth Warren used to teach at Harvard Law School. But it also suggests that teaching at Harvard Law School does not necessarily mean you understand either the Constitution or the rule of law.
Except for my friend Alan Dershowitz, who does.
Yes, that's a clear exception.
All right, so let me go, Than. So this is the talking point, but now we've got members of the House and Senate on the GOP side saying we may need a constitutional amendment here.
Yeah, Marco Rubio and Mark Green specifically are being proactive in putting forward the constitutional amendment to push back against this. And Jay, I think it's a good place to start, but I think there's more action that needs to be taken, specifically given the rich argument that Elizabeth Warren made. And I'm glad that Harry touched on this briefly, but the Senate has always had the ability to confirm or not confirm, reject a nominee that came from the United States Senate or from the president. That would be true whether it's Merrick Garland or Brett Kavanaugh or Neil Gorsuch or any other judge that is put forward. So for Elizabeth Warren to stand on the justification that the Senate might be able to set up its own rules for confirming that process, Jay, that is a right that is afforded to the United States Senate by the U.S. Constitution. That is a far cry from changing the rules of an election, but that's exactly what they propose to do. This proposal put forward by Mark Green and Marco Rubio to amend the Constitution to ensure that the Supreme Court is limited to 9 justices. I think both of them, Jay, have said, while there might not be a magical number to 9, it is very important that the court is not used for partisan purposes. Jay, I would tell you, this move to expand it to 15 once the Democrats take control, there's only one motive for that. It's to further politicize the court in the direction of their liking. It's a very dangerous proposal.
I think it's an unbelievably dangerous proposal. And look, here's the reality. We have a constitutional framework that has an appointment process in there. Beto O'Rourke's plan of, 5 Republican appointees, 5 Democratic appointees. What do you do for independents, by the way, or the Green Party? Do they not get a voice? I mean, these are not even thought out. This is the politics of the moment. But we're fighting back on all of this to maintain the constitutional integrity of the country in a constitutional republic. And that's why your support of the ACLJ is so critical. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You can be part of it at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Court packing at its finest, that's at least the plan right now. And I will tell you this, I believe that what you have is another attempt to change the result of an election. And they're using, look, the Supreme Court is, it's fair to say that the Supreme Court appointments are always a political issue in campaigns. Who will make the next Supreme Court appointment? What impact will that have on the court? What impact will that have on the country? That's a legitimate talking point. It's a legitimate issue. It's an important, I think it's one of the most important issues. Having said that, this political move, and I think you've got to go back historically. Why are they talking about doing a court packing plan now? Why is that the talking points of Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke? Is that going to be the talking point of Joe Biden when he jumps in the race, which seems to be any moment now? There is a calculated reason why they're doing this, Harry, and it's because they want to, as I said, they want to undo the election, but they also think this is a motivating point for their base.
I think that's precisely correct. So if you look at recent decision-making first by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, generally speaking, the Supreme Court has overturned their decision-making. Democratic leaders, particularly in the presidential race, prefer the Ninth Circuit's opinions to that of the United States Supreme Court. Why? Because the United States Supreme Court is now dominated by justices who believe in the rule of law and the written text of the Constitution. So Democrats believe in a living Constitution, something that kind of moves and evolves with the time, or perhaps with Beto O'Rourke's imagination. But it's important to note that if we are going to have a stable republic, we need Supreme Court justices who actually believe in the Constitution. And they, Democrats, they want to roll back a number of President Trump's victories on the Supreme Court. And one of the ways that they think they can achieve this particular goal is by packing the Supreme Court. And then there's the other reason, of course, and that is to motivate their base, along with other proposals, such as changing the Electoral College or abolishing it, lowering the voting age, and I'm very confident that new proposals from the fringe left will emerge over the next several weeks.
I think you're absolutely correct. All right, we're going to take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Art's on line one. He's calling from California.
Art dropped. We're going to go to Eileen on line two.
All right, Eileen, on line two, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, I just feel that the Democrats, the ones running for office, there's nothing for them to promise us, so that's why they have to do all these weird, innovative type of changing, you know, changing the history, changing the laws. They can't promise you lower taxes. They can't promise you more business. Trump's trying to do that. He's accomplishing a lot of it. They can't promise not to give other countries money because Trump's doing that. They can't promise immigration stuff because they voted all that down. Trump's doing it. So what can they promise? Like, I've never seen an election, a beginning of an election, when nothing's promised.
Well, there are so far, they are very light. It's fair to say, Than, very light on what exactly they're running on, although you'll hear the universal health care. Some of them are for that. Some of them are against it. You'll hear free tuition for all. Some of them for that. Some of them against that. You'll hear about immigration reform, but when the president talks about immigration reform, they don't really want to talk about that. And now you're hearing the justices.
Well, it's such a great call, Jay, because, look, I think the policy proposal that is the most robustly formulated and the most universally espoused by these candidates is the Green New Deal, and it's just not popular anywhere. I mean, voters will not be motivated in a general election to go elect a candidate based on the Green New Deal. That's why Elizabeth Warren has to go to a place like Mississippi and advocate for the Electoral College to be dumped, never mind that the Electoral College was set up for a reason of protecting states like Mississippi that might otherwise be ignored. But, Jay, I think the reason that the court packing scheme, and specifically the Supreme Court, has made its way into the talking points in this regard is because the Democrat Party sees the energy that Donald Trump was able to tap into with one Supreme Court seat open. He focused on it to a much larger extent than did Hillary Clinton, and it was a motivating factor for people that went to the polls for him. So they're trying to tap into some of that energy, Jay. In that regard, I think you're right to describe it as a political issue during a campaign. But what could be better than one open seat that Donald Trump was able to pursue? How about six open Supreme Court seats? I think it's a naked partisan political grab, but they saw that it worked in the last election because Donald Trump ran on a seat that was open legitimately, and so now they're trying to create more openings.
Well, it's look, this is politics. We're getting ready. It's hard to believe we're starting presidential elections again, but we are. This is exactly the situation that we have. Alan Dershowitz talked about some of this. Take a listen. Number 24.
Tampering with the Supreme Court in any way politically raises the risk that if you do this, then other people will do this. There are some who say there should be five Republican justices, five Democratic justices, and then five independent justices picked by the 10 partisan justices. Every idea seems worse than previous ideas and worse than the status quo.
I think Alan Dershowitz, my friend Alan Dershowitz, is 100% correct. I agree with him 100% on this. I think each plan they're coming up with is worse. All right, we're taking calls, 800-684-3110. Remember, coming up to the last segment of the conversation, we'll take calls on any topic. But let's go to Jerry from Rhode Island. He's on line 5. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. A comment on what Fan said about the existing nominations with a Republican-controlled Senate. Why are we having a problem there? And on the other issue, the court packing, you know, the young people, they don't seem to know the lessons of the history, as Professor Hutchins was talking about back Truman Roosevelt. The average voter back then could see it. But these people here, when they vote for the Green New Deal without knowing, hey, by the way, you're not going to have any cows and you can't fly, some of these people just don't seem to get past the cover letter. You know, they don't get deep and understand what they're voting for. They're just like an impulse.
It's political talking points that are, they think, are going to motivate their base. That's what this is all about. And by the way, they have the right to put that forward. But then what Jerry does bring up, which is a really good point, is we got a Republican majority. Why are we not getting quicker on the confirmations? Although there's been a lot of confirmations, to be fair.
Yeah, sides of this coin to Jerry. First of all, the Senate has confirmed a record number of judges to the federal court, 91 since President Trump took office. But look, there's also a record number of vacancies, Jay. I mean, there's nearly 170 known current or approaching vacancies on the federal court. And there are 62 nominees from President Trump that are currently languishing in the Senate. 44 of them, Jay, are on the floor of the United States Senate ready for a vote. And quite frankly, while the Senate has confirmed a record number, this is where they could do a better job, because quite frankly, as we talked about in the last segment of the broadcast, it is entirely up to the United States Senate how they consider these nominations. And right now, they are allowing Democrats to filibuster essentially every single judge that comes before them and run 30 hours of debate time after cloture is invoked. So it's clear that that judge is going to be confirmed. And therefore, it is just taking a long time. Jay, I gave you the stat in a couple segments ago that there were more no votes cast against the judges that were confirmed during the President Trump's term than in the entire 20th century combined. So I would tell you this very simply. The way that Republicans in the United States Senate can do a better job on this is to reduce the amount of debate time after it's clear a judge is going to be confirmed. That happens on each and every judge. Jay, the good news is Leader McConnell has said that is a proposal that he is going to consider inside the Republican conference sometime during the next work period. So sometime during the next 3 weeks, the United States Senate is going to consider this. And if 50 Republican senators agree with that, we're going to start seeing this pace pick up.
I think you're also, I think this is the reality of where we are. We got a great call coming. I'm going to save it for the next segment because we're running tight on time here. And that is a call about the Electoral College, because Harry, one of the things they're talking about doing there is they'd like to remove the Electoral College. That's another talking point that's going forward right now.
I think that's precisely correct. And the previous caller made a fantastic point about the inability of young people in America increasingly to understand and grasp history. Young people have been massively miseducated at colleges, universities, and secondary schools, and many millennials, oddly enough, embrace socialism, despite the fact that Venezuela, for instance, one of the richest countries in Latin America, for a very long time, has now reduced a large fraction of its population to eating garbage from dumps. And so one of the things that I find really, really disheartening is the fact that many millennials simply don't understand history with respect to the Electoral College, with respect to the Supreme Court, which has had 9 members since the 1860s. So one of the things that we're trying to do, I think, here successfully at the ACLJ is to educate our listeners on American history.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Open lines for the next segment, as we always do. Last segment, you can talk to us about any topic. 1-800-684-3110. Let me also remind you, we're in a matching challenge here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Your support of the ACLJ helps us on so many issues, whether it's bringing you this broadcast, fighting at the Supreme Court, litigating overseas, defending life, what the ACLJ does. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. And this month, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So I'm going to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're in our last segment. That means we will take your calls on any topic. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Amanda. She's calling from Texas. She's on line one. Amanda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Well, it's just interesting throughout history, God has used the most unlikely characters and to fulfill his will. And he's certainly done that with President Trump. But my questions are, what is the likelihood, first, what is the likelihood that the Electoral College, that this could really happen in the packing of the Supreme Court? And second, in the long run, does it really help the more moderate conservative vote that the left has gone so extreme?
Well, I think it helps anyone right of center, whether you're moderate conservative, or libertarian. This hard left shift, I think, is causing serious problems. Now, do I think they're going to get their court packing plan through? No, but let me tell you this, how it would work, folks. If there's a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president, fan, they would move that forward.
Oh, absolutely they would. And look, I mean, I think it's going to be a race to the left to get the energy in the primary process and then probably a scramble back to the center. So in that extent, maybe there would be a shift back to the left. But, Jay, you can't focus on that. You can't count on that, because if the political winds blow in that direction, they will certainly implement. And I would say this to the caller. I actually think there is a lot of momentum rallying behind this state effort. We talked about this yesterday extensively on the broadcast to overthrow the Electoral College. There are 12 states and the District of Columbia that have already passed the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. That accounts for 181 electoral votes. You have to get to 270 before the compact would take place. Jay, I spoke to a member of the Oregon legislature yesterday afternoon after the broadcast, because that is one of the states that has proposed this compact but has not yet passed it. Jay, he said that they are likely to pass it this session. So that would add another 7 electoral votes to that category. So the caller asked how likely the Electoral College challenge is to getting over the line. Jay, I think it's gaining momentum every day, and I think people need to take it seriously.
All right, we're taking comments by phone at 1-800-684-3110, but also Facebook and Periscope. Mary on Facebook said, the left is trying to subvert the will of the American people just to hold on to power. I think, look, this court packing plan clearly is in that mold, Harry. And what do you think the fallout of this, if Fan's right that they then kind of tack to the center to try to win the general election, but then you've got this base of theirs, if they were to win the election, saying, you said you were going to do this, this is something everybody talked about, what do you think that impact would have?
Well, I think if we take the latter part of your question first, I think the Dems would be compelled, if they prevailed in the election, to adopt many of these left-wing moves. But it's very, very important to note that many of the left-wing moves, at least from a pre-election standpoint, may indeed help in terms of motivating the center-right to take these proposals seriously and to come out and vote on Election Day. Many conservatives, particularly evangelical conservatives, undervote on Election Day. And I think they now have more and more reason to vote. But I think you and I and Than and the rest of the team need to take seriously ideas such as the National Popular Interstate Compact, the move to perhaps abolish the Electoral College, the move to pack the Supreme Court. These are real proposals. And if these proposals gain sufficient momentum, we may have to deal with them down the road, either in the courts or in the realm of public opinion. So I think everyone should be engaged on these particular issues now, irrespective of the probability that these particular ideas will pass or not. These are serious ideas, at least from the perspective of the left. Many individuals absolutely, desperately believe in them. And so I think they are going to continue to push harder and harder left in order to motivate their base and as part of an initiative to try to carve back many of President Trump's victories on the Supreme Court or in terms of particular Supreme Court decision-making.
All right, let's take, let me play for everybody. This is, again, these are leading candidates running for president, Elizabeth Warren.
Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and every vote.
That's great if you live in California and New York. Not so great for the rest of the country. Lynn on Facebook says, I'm not even sure a high percentage of 18-year-olds vote, so what makes them think they can get 16 and 17-year-olds to vote? Then traditionally, young people don't vote. I mean, the percentage is not that high. Now, is that, do you think that could be shifting with the in the light of the social media world that we live in now?
Well, it hasn't yet. I mean, I think there's a hope, frankly, on both sides of the aisle that it does shift. And, Jay, I think the technology certainly is helpful to that, but we haven't really seen it yet. There was a slight uptick in the last couple of elections. Barack Obama did pretty well among that demographic, although it was still well lower than older demographics. But I think really it is largely just a rush to embrace the energy that Bernie Sanders captured during the last election and almost upsetting Hillary Clinton for the nomination. Jay, these ideas sound radical, but it's where the energy is inside the Democrat Party. I mean, just even look at Joe Biden, who you expected him to be sort of the moderate centrist, even though his track record in Washington, D.C. didn't track that way. The moderate or centrist candidate, Jay, he came out a couple of days ago and made it very clear that he is going to run as an Obama Democrat. He said, I am a progressive. Even Joe Biden, Jay, recognizes that the energy inside that primary process is on the far left. And so I think it's really a political motivation to try to capture that nomination. Whether or not the younger voters would actually turn out in droves, I think is definitely an unproven idea. I think it was more likely than not that they would not. But I think all of these candidates, Jay, are desperate to appeal to the radical left and then worry about the centrist and the moderate voters once they get to a general election.
No, I agree 100%. So let me say this. Pam on Facebook just said this. There is a reason our founding fathers set up the court the way they did, and she said, I trust them. Look, it served our country very well. Court packing is a huge mistake. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whatever. Mistake. The reason we have the advice and consent provision is you have two branches of government involved with impacting the third branch of government. You got the president nominates, the House and Senate, that Senate advises and consents. That means they take a vote and they could say no. And then that person then would serve, if confirmed, on the judiciary. That has served our country really well. And I think it would be a huge mistake to tinker with the Constitution in this way. I think it would have profound impacts for our country. Again, I think it is an election ploy, but a serious one nonetheless. Serious because this is Supreme Court justices are always a big part of presidential campaigns. So we don't have the luxury to ignore what's being said here. We have to be prepared to battle it out right now in the courts of public opinion. Necessary in the House and Senate itself. That's why you have GOP members putting forward a constitutional amendment, both in the House and the Senate, to keep it at 9, where it has been 9 justices since the 1860s. That will do it for our broadcast today. Let me encourage you to stay engaged with the ACLJ on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter. Also, your support of the ACLJ is really critical. We're near just about 10 days left in this month. We are up against a big month. It's a big matching challenge for us in March. We would encourage and appreciate your support. We're about even where we were last year. We want to see if we can pull a bit ahead. Go to ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Your support makes a huge difference. Any amount you give us will be doubled. Back with more tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.